Good morning, everyone, and once again, the members of Independence Baptist Church would like to welcome you to our weekly radio broadcast. Now, each week, Pastor Reynolds shares a short 15-minute message from God's Holy Word. You know, and we cover a lot of different topics, but no matter what the topic, our goal is to always bring glory to God and to be a blessing and encouragement to each one of you. And as many of you know already, we've been studying lately Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this, of course, is a message that Jesus Christ himself preached about 2,000 years ago. You know, and the thought crosses my mind, you know, what an amazing blessing to be able to study a sermon that came straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. You know, but in reality, the entire Bible came straight from the mouth of the Lord God Almighty. We should look at the entire Bible with that same awe and wonder as we do the Sermon on the Mount. We have been granted an amazing blessing by being having in our hands the very Word of God. Well, before I use up too much of Pastor Reynolds' time, I had better turn it over to him so he can talk to us about the spiritual standards that Jesus preached about in the Sermon on the Mount.
This morning, we want to look in the book of Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse number 26, as we continue in our study on the Sermon on the Mount. In this place, we're going to study spiritual standards. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 21 through verse number 26, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, those people that are listening to him, he is telling them what the religious folks of that day are saying. But notice, they're talking about killing someone. And if you kill someone, then you shall be in danger of the judgment. But Jesus Christ takes this just a little bit further. He says in verse number 22, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Wow! In verse 23, the Bible says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." In verse 26, Jesus ends this section by stating, "Verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out hence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." You know, there is a vast difference in what men say and what Christ commands. There is a vast difference today in what many religions teach and what God declares. There is a lot of difference between what a man says and what Christ says. Men only have a command based upon the physical evidence. But God looks on the heart of the matter, and God judges based upon what he sees, not just upon what is done. You see, men cannot look on the heart of the matter. All they can see, all we can see, is the physical evidence before them, before us. That's all we can see. We must remember that God looks deeper than just at the physical evidence. God actually looks at the heart. God looks at the motive, the reason why we are doing what we are doing. This is a much deeper thought than men can see. God's judgment is also much deeper and more severe than the judgment of any man. Notice here that Jesus Christ, in verse number 22, speaks of three different things. Jesus Christ, in verse number 22, says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." We need to say, first of all here, that there's a difference between anger. There is an anger without a cause, and there is an anger with a cause. There is a difference between the two. Jesus Christ is stating, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." In this first mild rebuke, nothing is said. Perhaps it is simply thought instead of being spoken. God still knows all about that. God knows about everything that we think. God knows the motive of our heart. He is able to look inside us. He is able to see and understand that we have a motive that is bad. God knows that. We're open. We are accountable unto God and to God alone. Our actions reveal the true source of all of our thoughts. The Bible says, "And whosoever shall say to thy brother, Raca." What does the word Raca mean? What it means is to be empty. It means to be a senseless, empty-headed person. So, this form of anger is when a person who is angry says to their brother, "You are an empty-headed person," or "You don't think right. You're not thinking correctly." And there's no thought given that the person is thinking from their viewpoint, you see. This is the second rebuke. But Jesus says that this person shall be in danger of the council. You shall be in danger of the judge, is really what he's saying here. You shall be in danger of other people looking at you and understanding from your viewpoint. You want people to look at you and understand what you are saying, what you are feeling. This third form of anger is a spoken word. When the person says, "You are a fool," that means that the person does not even believe in God. There's no accountability there at all, you see. So you can understand in verse number 22 the different stages of anger. Here is anger without a cause. They're simply in danger of judgment, but the person doesn't say anything. The second one is when the person is called an empty-headed person. And then the third one is when the person is called a fool, or that is, they don't even believe in God. This is a terrible thing. The Bible says in verse number 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar." So Jesus Christ is stating here, therefore, whenever a person comes to the place of worshiping the Almighty and the Most Holy God, that if they bring their gift to the altar, if they do that, understand that it's more important that we might be right with our fellow man than it is to worship God. This is really what he's saying, because the people are around us every day. It is right for us to be the kind of people that would honor and glorify and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more important that we not offend people around us. It's very important that we don't look down upon people around us, that they would understand that we are trying to do what God wants us to do. The Bible said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there," that is at the very time that you bring your gift to the altar, then you realize, you remember that you have offended your brother. The Bible said in verse 24, what you need to do is to leave there your gift before the altar. Just leave it there. Don't attempt to worship God. If you remember that anybody that is your brother in Christ, that you have looked down upon them, or that you have thought within yourself, you're an empty-headed person, or if you have spoken against them and said, you're a fool, in other words, you don't believe in God at all, if you remember that, then the Bible says you need to leave your gift right there before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and worship me. This is exactly what Jesus Christ says. Now, oftentimes, we might think if we leave our gift at the altar, somebody might take it. Sometimes, we might think that. But remember this. Nobody can take our gifts. What we give to God is given to Him alone. Nobody else can even use it at all. It is our thankfulness unto the most holy and righteous God. And we need to be right before Him. Christ, you see, is saying here that it is more important to be right with our brother than to give a gift to him. I know that we often think that what we do before God is much more important than what we do before men. As we remember, the first commandment and the second commandment as well is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Yet Christ assures us here that He will not accept our gift to Him if any of our brothers in Christ has anything against us. Verse 25 states that we ought to agree with our adversary quickly. Jesus Christ is not saying that our adversary is always right and we are always wrong. He is saying that when we are wrong, we are supposed to admit it even to our adversary. It is easy to admit our faults to our friends, is it not? But we often, even then, fudge the truth, admitting only the part of our fault that our friends also have. Realistically, we desire to so state our case that our friends are on our side, not against us. Christ is here stating we must admit our faults to our adversaries. He is not saying our adversaries are right. He is saying that we are wrong when we do not admit our faults to an adversary. Now, what might happen is clearly expounded in verse 25. Your adversary might deliver you to the judge. Now, this is not necessarily an official judge, but one who passes or aggregates to himself. He is saying that he will judge you, and the judge will deliver you to the officer, and the officer is a servant or any person who is controlled by the judge, and you will wind up in prison, all because you will not admit you are wrong. What Christ is really saying in this place is that if you know you have said or did anything that brings rebuke upon your worship of God, this must be fixed before you can correctly worship God. And it must be fixed quickly before the person you have offended tells it to another person.
You know, we trust that you've enjoyed the message this morning, and that it's been a reminder of the standards that our Lord has. So often we want to shrug off certain actions, but we find right in these passages that God's standards are actually deeper than what we think. And if you're saved, then don't live like the world, but turn to the Scripture and see the ways of God and how He wants us to serve Him. Well, our time is up this morning, but we do want to invite you to services with us. We'll be meeting this morning starting at 10 a.m., and you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Well, we hope to see you there, and we look forward to talking to you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.